Hi everyone, I'm Liam and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show, exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us and the show out. In Exploring the NQS, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until I've covered all 40. My background is as an early childhood teacher, centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. All right, let's get started. This week we're looking at element 6.2.1, transitions. It's part of Quality Area 6, Collaborative Partnerships with Families and Communities, and it's the first element of Standard 6.2, Collaborative Partnerships. The description for this element is, continuity of learning and transitions for each child are supported by sharing information and clarifying responsibilities. All right, so what's this one all about? This is another one of those elements that I think when we think about the word transitions, that's one of those terms that we think a lot about in the sector already. If you, even for people who are relatively new to the sector, that idea of children moving to different spaces, that idea of transitions is an embedded one in the sector. We think about it a lot. And I think we do that because we know it's one of the bigger challenges that we often face in services. There are a huge amount of transitions for children in the early childhood education space. So I'm going to get into the detail of those in the next section, but we know there are a huge amount. This is one of those elements as well. The 15-minute time limit is going to frustrate me. I think at certain points I'd love to spend an hour on this topic. I might have to palm it off to an episode of the main show. But if this is one of those things where I might only be able to raise some summary points, I'd really recommend going out and find some additional information. There's lots of resources available out there, particularly things like, I go to ecrh.edu.au, that's the Early Childhood Research Hub, and there'll be some links to some free articles that you can find on transitions. But we're going to try and just sort of hit the main points here on my thoughts about what I see in the service. But what this element's all about really is, there are a lot of transitions for children. They can create challenge and stress for children sometimes. Some children will, of course, be completely okay with transitions, but some may not. So this is really about how do adults work together to make those transitions work for children. And when we think about adults, we're thinking more about educators, but as well as families, and occasionally for some children, external supports as well. So how do we, as the big people in this space, come together and help children navigate these transitions? That's really what this element is trying to get at. All right, so let's have a think about transitions in practice. So again, 15 minutes, not long to talk about the length and breadth and depth and complexity of this issue, but we'll try and sort of hit some of the big key issues that people may be thinking about. The first step is kind of along those lines, is services that do well, I think, with transitions, spend a bit of time, really identifying the transitions that the children they work with engage in, and thinking about, at a service level, what does that mean for all of the children in the space? So we know that there are some transitions that every child will be experiencing every day, which is, that just arriving at the centre from home. The transition from home to the service is one of the big transitions. And this is a transition that happens, every day the child attends. For some children, if they're attending 5 days a week, this is, a regular transition. And then there's the transition out of the service, service back to home. These are really important transitions for a child. There are also transitions that happen every day in classrooms as well. The move from, a particular form of play to meal times, to rest times. How those transitions are planned for can really, support children's learning and well-being in a whole variety of ways, or alternatively may not support their learning and well-being. I'm going to come back to those kind of classroom points as well. But it's worth taking a broader think as well. So we do have those things that the service, that the sector is quite used to thinking about. I think when we first think of the word transitions, the most common thing an educator working in a service would think would be the transition from classroom to a new classroom. So a child that's moving from the nursery to the toddler room, and that's a big transition for a child. And we think about that a lot in the sector, I think. A lot of services may have quite a formal process for that transition. They may have, you know, something like a transition checklist, where children have to spend a particular amount of time in that new classroom, with an educator they know quite well. Parents may have to sign something. I think that's something we formalise because we know that's a big transition for a child. They're remaining within the centre, they're remaining within, hopefully a stable and supportive educator team. And for many children, this transition may be completely okay, but we do know that at a fundamental level, the child's experience on a day-to-day basis is changing quite significantly. They're moving from a classroom where they're familiar with a particular flow of the day, with particular children and educators, to a new classroom that will do things, of course, slightly differently and have new people and faces in that classroom. So we need to think about, what that would mean for the child, and that's really important. So that process of identifying for all of the children in your space what that transition means and looks like is really important before we then sort of drill down into, so are there specific children that are benefiting or not benefiting from our particular approach to transitions? Are there particular children who need more support? That's kind of the process, is going from the broad scale in terms of thinking as an educator team to going, but there will be children that, can't be covered by a general approach. How are we going to make sure we're supporting those children? And that really comes down to you and your service and the particular children. So you want to have to think about, for children that we know are struggling with particular things, how can we make sure they're giving them the individual support? The second thing to think about for me here is that that process, we talk about it a lot, is being child-centred rather than adult-focused. One of those sentences is very easy to say, but often harder to implement. We know that educators are underpaid, undervalued, are working incredibly hard. So that focus on making sure we're child-centred is important and needs to be a big focus, but it shouldn't be overwhelming educators in a particular way. The thing where we need to think particularly about this, I think, is in those day-to-day classroom focuses. I think we're better at being child-focused in things like maybe transition to preschool. I know a lot of states and territories now have transition to school statements that are quite child-focused in thinking about the child and their learning and their well-being and their goals. And I think when we look at, those systems and processes for classroom changes, we try and implement processes that are child-focused. Where this becomes more challenging, I think, is on a day-to-day basis, when we're thinking about things even as relatively straightforward as meal times and transition to sleep times, where we really come up against operational considerations. So the middle of the day period, even if we just take that slice of time, we know that educators need to be having breaks, when they need to be going having time out of the classroom to recharge and come back for the afternoon. These are important considerations, and they are a requirement. And the easiest thing to do, I think, and where we sometimes, when particularly things are busy or crazy, is we default to making the child parts of those transitions. So the move from a particular activity to a mealtime or a sleep time, we can sometimes be guilty of rushing them or managing that process for children because we have particular deadlines we need to meet or because we want to get certain things done. And that's where things start to break down and can be more challenging. There isn't a simple solution for this, but acknowledging the issue, sometimes these things have to happen in this way. But I always bring it back to, there are quite simple things that we can do to change particular practices that will still mean we can meet those operational requirements, but are far more child-centered. Even things like starting particular processes, a lot earlier. So the move to sleep time doesn't have to be this huge big rush where everyone has lunch, then we stop and everyone goes to sleep. We can stagger that out a bit in periods of the day. Asking children to help set up beds and do those kind of things are incredibly important, not just for children to feel like they're owning that part of the process for themselves and that they're substantially involved, but these are the important skills that children will need. They're looking after themselves is one of the things that's part of our work under the early years learning framework, children being confident and involved, having a strong sense of identity. These are actually parts of our work. So when we, sort of may get two educators to sit down and make sure everyone's being fed and another educator goes and makes all the beds, that might make it easier to get things done from an adult perspective, but are we holding children back from learning particular life skills that will be particularly important? But beyond, that process, those processes actually go better when children are involved, when they feel like they have ownership of that process. It does actually work together well. So this is one really that's on a service-by-service level. You want to look at the particular transitions you're supporting children to go through and think, how can we you know, how can we make this go slower? How can we give time to this process? How can we get children involved? Yes, it will always take longer. I have vivid memories of working in toddler rooms, you know, with 15 children and getting children, you know, a group of children to come in and make beds. And it took so much longer than if I'd just done it myself. But, you know, that was a really valuable time of learning for those children and a great communication time for me and them as well to support them with specific individual tasks, like getting a particular loop over a particular, you know, bit of the bed. But they were doing it themselves and I was able to engage and support them in that process. So I really value that time now. Yes, it took longer, but it's not taking away time from learning. That's actually the learning. That's actually why it's really important. And the last thing to think about here for me is about that idea about how the adults are working together. So how are educators at the first level talking with each other about transitions? How are we analysing the practices in our room to think about them? How are we engaging with families to talk about how the rhythm of the day goes in our room? I think we're, hopefully in the sector, we're moving away from that idea of having a really strict timetable to what we do. So at 8:30 we do this, then at 9:30 this happens, and at 11:30 lunch is served. I think we're moving away from that to more having a flow of the day. It is important for children to have structure and that they can know what's going to happen as they come into a classroom. It's not okay to have complete chaos every day. That's actually not supporting children's well-being. But we want to make sure it's more of a flow of the day, that this happens after this, but it might happen at different times during the day. I hope that kind of idea makes sense. But the first thing about thinking about that is adults talking and discussing together, and including children where appropriate, of course. But this is really about how the adults in this space working together to share information, to discuss particular practices that might support particular children. This is obviously particularly relevant for individual children who may be struggling with particular things. The most common thing we might think about is children who really struggle during drop-off, so that transition from home to the service. For some children, it just takes a really long time to bed in, and we can have children that are upset and distressed. The best way to deal with the situation is regular ongoing discussions with the adults in the space. How, what can we do? What can we try? What can we do differently? How can we make sure we don't have this rigid adult structure for what we do that disadvantages children? How can we turn that focus to what's going to be best for the child? What could we change about the way we do that will support that child? That's just one really simple example. But the adults working together and discussing things is a really important part of this element. All right, let's have a few suggestions now for nominated supervisors. Just a couple of things here. So again, I kind of talked about this in the discussion point earlier before, but really having a bit of a review and an audit of the transitions you have in your space, taking a step back, maybe getting together with your team leaders, or even just doing this yourself as a starting point, thinking back and going, you know, what are the transitions that happen in the space? Even if you sat back and just added up every transition you could find for children, you'd probably be surprised how many there are. There are so many across the day that we expect children to engage in. So the first tip is, can we reduce the number of transitions? Sometimes we can't due to operational requirements, but sometimes we can as well. The transitions that don't really need to take place. And then if they do, thinking about, well, is this the best way we could be doing this process? Is there another way? Could we look at a different one? And the way we can know it, and you may come up against educators who, you know, struggle with this big change. Changing the way we do transitions can often have a very emotional impact for educators. And as leaders, we're sometimes frustrated by this. But we need to remember that educators are in these classrooms all day, every day, and educators need a sense of routine too. So just as with children, that sense of routine of knowing what's happening during the day gives us a sense of control and purpose. So this is not educators being, you know, horrible and terrible and bad educators. Is in work that's quite complex and difficult, that building that sense of structure around ourselves can have a huge impact. So leaders and nominated supervisors need to know this going in. So those discussions with educators aren't you're doing badly, it's is there a better way we could do this that will support you and the children? So that's a really important part of this. And then the other one is just, you know, to be honest, you could add this point for every single element, but I don't. But I think it is important in this one because of the point we've just discussed, which is making sure you're spending time in classrooms during those busy transition times, particularly the middle of the day. So you can see them in action. You can work with your team to identify particular pressure points, particular times when transitions are difficult. But crucially, you can role model those approaches and you can demonstrate to educators how different ways can work. And work through teams, because any change process takes time. What often happens, particularly in this transition space, is, you know, a change will be made and it's difficult for, you know, 1 or 2 days, and teams may sort of go, it's all too difficult, let's go back to the way we do it before. Any change takes time, any change takes a little bit of time to embed, but it doesn't take forever. And it's usually only a couple of weeks before people adjust to a new routine for transitions. So being there, role modeling, talking through issues as they occur is a really important part of it. And then lastly, but not leastly, certainly, we'll look at the quality improvement plan. Just a couple of fairly straightforward ones here. I would have educators regularly meet to discuss transitions across all aspects of the service. So that's really getting to that idea that adults are meeting to discuss how we can improve these processes for children. And then all transition processes are developed and embedded with children in mind first. So that idea that we're trying to be as child-centred as possible, and that when we're developing these processes, we're working as hard as we can to make sure they're supporting children while still balancing those requirements we have as adults in the operational space. All right, so we've kicked off standard 6.2. Thanks for joining me again. I really enjoyed this discussion. Like I said, one of those ones that there's so much underneath the surface on this one, so go out, find some more resources. But I hope you enjoy this really quick summary. And until next week, it's goodbye from me.